Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. Hope everyone had a beautiful, wonderful, uplifting, healthy, happy Pesach. Of course, we continue to daven for our brothers and sisters in Israel and for peace around the world. And as always, we remind you to remain afterwards to complete all of Sefer Tehillim in that schus, in that merit. Our Parsha series is generously sponsored by Becky and Avi Katz and family in memory of Becky's father, David Grossman. Our learning should be Lili Nishmas David Menachem Monish. This morning's shiur is sponsored by the Dykman family in memory of their daughter and sister, Daniela Rachab, Shalom Ezra. Also sponsored anonymously in the merit of Avner ben Avram, HaKoyin, Shendel, Baz, Dov, Mishlom, Ben David, Dov, Mishlom, Nisim, Ben Shimon, Fachaim, Ben David, Ashraf, Rachab, Bas, Yosef, Alevi, and by Myrna Hirshhorn in memory of her beloved husband, our dear member, Marvin, on his sixth Yuritzayt, very much missed. Such an active member of our community and a good friend is Neshama, Shanav, and Aliyah as well. Thank you to all of our generous sponsors. We have the privilege this week of learning and reading a double parsha. If you love one, you're going to love two, Tazria and Metzora. So we begin with Parshas Tazria, page 608 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, and we'll try to make our way sharing thoughts and insights from both. Let's begin with Rabbi Sachs, the Rabbi Sachs Chumash. He writes the following: the laws at the start of this parsha about the sacrifices brought by a woman who has given birth have challenged and puzzled many commentators. That's how Tazria starts. The word Tazria means to conceive. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, God spoke to Moshe, Daber al bnei Yisrael lemor, teach this law that Isha ki Tazria, when a woman conceives, v'yalda zachar. So now we have the laws of childbirth. When she conceives, what happens if she conceived a boy? What happens if she conceived a girl? How long is the impurity? Why is it different for a boy and for a girl? We've covered much of this in the past. The days of impurity, followed by the days of purity, the sacrifices, the karbanos, that this woman who conceived and gave birth, that she brings. And ultimately we get to the bris. On the eighth day is the bris. So Rabbi Sachs points out that many have been puzzled why this woman who's given birth brings these sacrifices. We could easily understand if she had to bring a Thanksgiving offering. A woman is blessed to have a healthy child, so many long and wish and wait, so many spend endless and countless amounts of money in the pursuit of fulfilling that dream of having a child. So you would think that a woman who gives birth, she's healthy and the baby's healthy. We take for granted today, please God, that women who give birth are healthy in sterile hospitals with medical care and they recover fairly quickly. Insurance companies would like them to recover by that afternoon and get them out. Maybe they stay for one day. It used to be a lot longer. But you'd think that that woman would bring a korban todah. You'd think that that woman, when she recovered, would bring a Thanksgiving offering. Tremendous gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam. Instead, she brings a burnt offering together with a purification offering. Wonders Rabbi Sachs, why in the world does this woman need atonement? What did she do wrong? Because she gave birth? Because she conceived and went into labor? Because she brought a child into this world? What does she need atonement for? So Rabbi Sachs quotes several interpretations. The Ibn Ezra, Rav Abin Ibn Ezra, says that during the anguish of labor, the woman may have thought or expressed ideas that she wouldn't be proud of or that she now regrets. So I'll elaborate on the Ibn Ezra. Of course, not from personal experience, but I'll elaborate on the Ibn Ezra. That while her husband is trying to figure out where to be and what to say and how to preserve and save his life in that moment, maybe he's offering her some encouragement. Breathe, relax, push. And she turns to him and she says all kinds of things that I won't repeat in front of an Aron Kodesh. Maybe including, says the Ibn Ezra, vowing, this is the last child. This is the last time I'm doing this. This is never, ever happening again. We're talking about, this is before, what was it called? Epidurals, thank you. Before epidurals. I like to joke about someone in my life, I won't say whom, maybe I'm related to by marriage, that she likes to get the epidural when she sees the second line come back on the pregnancy test. That's when she's ready for it. So today we have an epidural, but before an epidural, a woman in that extraordinary pain might call her husband certain names, the doctor certain names, maybe God, how could you do this? Why would you do this? And take a vow. This is never, ever happening again. The Ramban explains that sacrifices are a kind of ransom for having survived the dangers of childbirth, as well as a form of prayer for a full recovery. So the Ramban says, don't see it as something negative that it's a burnt offering or a purification offering. Don't see it as something negative that the kind of sacrifice that she's bringing. Realize that that's part of atonement, and that's part of also gratitude, prayer for recovery. The great Meshech Chochmah of Meir Simcha of Dvinsk suggests If you didn't read the article Mishpacha over Pesach by my friend David Safir on the Meshech Chachma, you must. You can't learn a Meshech Chachma the same after you read his extraordinarily well-researched, incredible article. So the great Meshech Chachma suggests the burnt offering is like an Olas Re'iyah, an offering that was brought when appearing at the temple on festivals. The woman celebrates her ability to appear before Hashem at the Beis HaMikdash. Her eligibility, her recovery, her purification represents, marks her return to be able to come back to the Beis HaMikdash. So just like someone who goes and sees God brings an Olas Re'iyah in that moment, so she too, her eligibility, her recovery, her reinstatement, she brings that. Maybe you could elaborate on that Meshech Chachma. The same way one brings an Olas Re'iyah when they see and they're seen by God, when they go to the Beis HaMikdash, the place of great revelation, maybe what the Torah is telling us is that childbirth is a moment of great revelation. We have sanctity in space, that's called the Beis HaMikdash. And today our Mikdash Ma'at, our temple in miniature, which is the Shul. We have sanctity in time, that's called Shabbos. Shabbos and Mikdash go together for that reason. But maybe there's also sanctity in experience. The closest one can come, the greatest imitation, say closest one can come. The greatest imitation, so to say, of God is creation itself, is conception, which of course is only in His hands. The keys are His. And when one brings a child into this world, it is nothing short, nothing less than a miracle, a moment of revelation. And maybe her Ola is like the Ola Sur'iyah, just to expand on this Meshech Chachma, maybe the reason she brings this Korban is that by being there in that moment, by being the source, the conduit, catalyst of that moment, it's an Ola Sur'iyah. She has seen God. It is a moment of revelation. It's really quite extraordinary. We won't get into now, hopefully you all know, but how the ingredients are mixed that leads to conception, but the idea that hopefully a loving couple, a married couple, hopefully in the appropriate time, place, relationship, context, simply unite their love and the result is a human being, a person with a personality, somebody who will grow to be an adult and be able to pay that forward and also be a progenitor. It's extraordinary. It's revelation. It's creation. It's miraculous. That's a moment of revelation. Maybe that, just to expand or add an additional idea to the Meshech Chachma. Back to Rabbi Sacks. Without displacing any of these ideas, we might suggest another perspective. So we have the Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, the Meshech Chachma, my humble suggestion, and our Rabbi Sacks. This is related to the word Tameh and Tahor, pure and impure. Tameh does not mean defiled. It is a technical term referring to people being in a condition that prevents them from entering the Mishkan or the Mikdash. Tahor means the opposite, that they may enter. As we've noted, the Mishkan and later the Mikdash were symbols of the presence of Hashem within the human domain. God is eternal and spiritual. We and the universe are physical. And whatever is physical is subject to birth, growth, decay, decline, and death. It is these things that must be excluded from the sanctuary if we are to have the experience of standing in the presence of eternity. What bars us, therefore, from entering the holy is anything that reminds us or others of our mortality. Hence, the supreme source of impurity is the Avi Avas HaTumah. What is the greatest source of Tumah? The biggest transmitter of Tumah, the greatest contaminator is contact with death. With death, is there a bigger sign or source or symbol of mortality than death? Contact with or proximity to a dead body. Paradoxically, childbirth defiles even though it represents a new life. The reason may be that until recently it was a hazard fraught with the risk of death. Many babies were stillborn, many died young, and many mothers died giving birth. The very loss of blood was dangerous. So childbirth may render one impure because it is an encounter with the risk of death. Alternatively, it may simply be that it defiles because it is a reminder of the passing of the generations. Birth, like death, is a signal of mortality. The Mishkan, and later the Mikdash, is the space set aside for consciousness of eternity. So the Mikdash, the Mishkan first and later the Mikdash, represents a place of immortality, of contact with eternity, with the Ribono Shel Olam, the source of existence and the endlessness of existence. So anything that represents temporal, temporary, fragile, mortal mortality, that is not allowed in the Mikdash. So that's why death contaminates. And even here, there's contamination, which also connects to the end of the Parsha and the end of Mitzora. And Sacks comes back to this too, which is another lesson of purity and impurity. At the very end of Parshas Mitzora, we have the law b'tamam es mishkani pasuk lamed aleph v'izartam es ben Yisrael mitumasam v'lo yamusu b'tumasam b'tamam es mishkani asher b'socham, that people who are contaminated, impure, cannot come to the Mishkan. If they do, it is a death penalty because they can't introduce contamination and impurity to Mishkani, God's dwelling place, asher b'socham, that Hashem is trying to be in our midst. What are these laws? These are the laws of a woman who is a Zav, a Zava, or a Nida. A man who is a Zava, a woman who is a Zava, or a Nida. The body has all kinds of emissions. Today it applies to women, but in the time of the Mikdash, men too were subject to Zav. Men too would have all kinds of emissions which would render them impure, and they too needed a purification process before they were eligible to come into the Mishkan and later the Mikdash. But a woman who has her menstrual cycle or monthly cycle renders her a Nida, and she needs to go through purification. Today we think about Nida in the context of marital purity, in the context of mikvah, in the context of abstaining and then reuniting. But in the time when sanctity was observed, both with foods, interactions, and certainly with entering the Mishkan or the Mikdash, the law of Nida was a law of purity and impurity. And a woman needed to become pure, much like a man did as well. So what are these laws? So Rabbi Sachs continues this idea here. The very end, we started with the beginning of Tazria, skip into the end of Mitzvah. Concept of purity and impurity, as we know, have their main application relation to the holy space of the Mikdash. To enter its precincts, one has to be pure or purified. The chief exception is of a woman's issue of menstrual blood, from which she had to be purified not only to enter the temple, but also to resume relations with her husband. In general, pure and impure are not categories applying to life as a whole. They're not ethical terms like good and bad, right or wrong, which apply to secular as well as sacred, space and time. They only exist because Hashem has stipulated that they exist. So as for example, Shabbos only exists because Hashem ordered it. You cannot tell that a certain day was Shabbos because of the quality of the light or the air or the temperature. So too, the concept of impurity is not like the idea of uncleanliness, which could have physical manifestations or measurements. Tuma and Tahara are spiritual categories brought into being by Hashem's command. Concept of holiness and purity, the two organizing principles of the priestly mind, are about the intense and vigilant preparation we must make before entering Hashem's space. Hashem is that which is not mortal, finite, and physical. Whatever inescapably reminds us of our physicality and mortality, whether it be birth or death or a skin disease or the flow of blood or the unusual discharge of bodily fluid or contact with the carcass of a repulsive animal, they all convey tumah, a state from which we must be cleansed before entering the domain of the holy. There's nothing intrinsically defiling about our physicality. To the contrary, the Torah asks us to seek Hashem within the physical world, to sanctify rather than forswear physical pleasures, such as eating and drinking in the marital bond. There's nothing ascetic or otherworldly about the Torah's ethic. Rather, we have to ensure that we have divested ourselves of all lingering traces of that which reminds us of mortality and physicality, our vulnerability to disease, decay, and death, not because we can escape them, nor that we should deny them, but simply to remind ourselves that Hashem utterly transcends all such accidents and attributes of materiality. In the Beis HaMikdash, we are in the presence of radical transcendence. So the way to remember the presence of radical transcendence is anything that is the opposite, is the reminder or mark of mortality, fragility, how temporary we are, of death, or any corollary of it. That is what is not allowed. A woman's Nida cycle, that monthly cycle, is a reminder, unfortunately, sadly, of certainly for those who want to conceive, the endometrial lining of the uterus prepares to receive a fertilized egg. And if or when it doesn't, it sheds that endometrial lining. That's the source of a flow which renders a woman Anida. That means to say that her body is designed monthly to be prepared to conceive. The default is that it's a factory, it's a manufacturing plant, it's a laboratory, it's ready to receive, it's ready to conceive, it is ready to produce a beautiful, healthy child, a neshama, a tzelem elokim. And when that didn't take place, intentionally or unintentionally, by choice or with disappointment, that shedding of that lining, of the endometrial lining, that causes that status of Nida, represents the opposite of conception or birth. It represents that, so to say, death of possibility, that death of potential. And therefore, that's a corollary of death, loss of potential. So an actual corpse is the Avi Avos HaTuma. That is the primary driver of impurity. But corollary of it, loss of potential, failure, mortality, all of these things, says Rabbi Sachs, that was what this is all about. I want to share with you, I got from his great-grandchild, but you may know, one of my favorites to quote, not in the Parsha Shir so much, but often elsewhere, is the Menachem Tzion, Rav Menachem ben Tzion Zaks. Rav Menachem ben Tzion Zaks, the great-grandfather of the great Rabbi Sacks and Pesach, Rosh Hashiva of Landers, and my friends the Landys, and they reproduced Menachem Tzion. There's an old original version of his Sefer, but they actually added more of his Divrei Torah and material, and printed it and reprinted it, and I highly recommend it. I'm very grateful to them for it. I believe they're working on a translation as well, which they should, because his Divrei Torah are outstanding. He doesn't need my endorsement, but they are amazing. So he begins our parsha. Vayda b'Hashem al Moshe le'mor, Daber b'nei Yisrael le'mor, Isha ki says Rabbi Yehuda Zachar. Now on Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. So we started out with God spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the Jewish people saying, what word there is redundant and seems extraneous? Read with a critical eye. What word jumps out at you? The word Lemor. God spoke to Moshe, Lemor. Speak to the Jewish people, Lemor. Why the two Lemor? Hamila lomar nishnes kan pa'amayim. The word Lemor appears here twice. Achas al Moshe Lemor, v'achas al b'nei Yisrael Lemor. God spoke to Moshe saying, who spoke to the Jewish people saying, why do we need it twice? L'havlit shebechol anogeya l'hamitzvah yesodis, shotaras ha'mishpacha, shebat luya, taras hadoros habayim shelo yuchas v'shalom pegumim, lo maspik lemor pam achas ayde Moshe harav veroha idosha koldor kein lachador sheim bo kamoshe vabitei Moshe shapir kamas rabbeinu bedoro kamoshe bedoro elachova mutelas al kol ben Yisrael sheyira shamayim bo eres bekirbo lemor bepumbe uverabim lahasriu lahazik es kol hamonei ha'am lo laavor al mitzvah zu, says Rav Menachem ben Tzion Zaks, the son-in-law of the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He moved to America. He was a Rav in Chicago for many years, the Menachem Tzion. He writes, this is a foundational mitzvah, the sanctity of a home, which is the sanctity of the community, which is the sanctity of our people, the strength, the sanctity, the holiness, the neshama, the soul of our people is the observance of the laws of Taharas HaMishpacha, of these laws, of Isha Kisazri, of Yalda Zachar, of these laws of conception, of these laws of separation, of these laws of mikvah and family purity. This is the source of everything about our physical, spiritual health. And therefore, it has to be repeated and it has to be reinforced. It's up to a Moshe, it's up to leaders to talk about it, but the Lemor is B'nai Yisrael. It's also critical within a home, from a mother to her daughters, from a father to her sons, in the senior year of high school, in seminary, in yeshiva, in chasana and kala classes, to reinforce and reinforce and reinforce how critically important this mitzvah is. Not as some punishment, now is not the time, I could elaborate on how this mitzvah is the greatest gift from Hashem. The insight, our creator, the one who designed us, also knows how we work. And he understood that separation is good for us. He understood that it restores that sense of longing and craving and yearning, which restores connection, which is the core of all of intimacy. In a world that once had a spike in the divorce rate at the 7 year because of the 7 year itch, that has now been reduced far from 7 years to far fewer and less because of the world we're living in, which is filled with all of its enticement and opportunity and challenges. So Hashem created a program called Taharas HaMishpacha, because we understood that distance makes the heart grow fonder and much more than just the heart. And therefore, the laws of family purity and how beautiful and what that's done for the Jewish people and how elevated it took a base, mundane, physical, animal urge and it put it in a context of holiness and sanctity and intimacy and emotional closeness and of unique, exclusive relationship and turned it from something only physical to what we call, the Hebrew word for it is das. We call the ultimate knowledge one can have of another is this intimacy. So these laws, not only the details of which there are so many, and there are many minutiae to them, but also the themes and the essence and the ideas and the ideals, they're so important, they have to be repeated and reinforced, and says Rav Menachem ben Tzion Zaks, that's why, first Lemor for Moshe, the leaders have to speak, and then Lemor b'nei Yisrael, because the people, the community, also has to speak, and it's not too late. There are people who didn't have the background, didn't have the education. If they've never been to mikvah, it doesn't matter what age, what stage of life they're in. If they're still married, they should go to mikvah. It doesn't matter. the blessing, the bracha that brings, it brings tremendous, tremendous bracha. Many people are reticent. They're hesitant. They don't want to speak about these laws. They don't think it's appropriate. There's stigma. They don't know the language to use. They're going to blush. It feels inappropriate. They're worried. People will don't want to hear it. That's why it needs the reinforcement. And that's why the word lemor is repeated twice. Which brings us now to what is the rest of the parsha of Tazria and of Metzora. Essentially, one theme carries us all the way through, almost all the way through, and that is now Tzara'as. Tzara'as. Translate the word Tzara'as. So most people translate it as leprosy, but Rav Hirsch elaborates, and many others, it can't be leprosy. Leprosy is a physical dermatological ailment, highly contagious. In fact, until 2020, when we suffered a plague, I don't want to say its name because we all still have PTSD from it, and we talked about people have to, if you contracted it, what did you have to do? 14 days, it depended on the CDC and what they said that day. You had to do something called quarantine. Until 2020, the only time human beings used the word quarantine was Parshios, Tazria, and Metzora. Or, at least in my age, if you were my age or younger, the only time you ever used the word quarantine was you were teaching a Parsha class or learning the Parsha, Tazria, or Metzora. But before that, there were people who used the term quarantine, and they were leper colonies, leprosy. Before it was contained, people quarantined. So we know this can't be leprosy. Why? Because the Rav Hirsch points this out. The laws would then make no sense whatsoever. If it covers your entire body, you're pure. Only part of your body, then you're impure. They're paradoxical. They're illogical. They're not intuitive. And certainly they make no sense if you're talking about a contagious skin disease. So we're not talking about a dermatological skin disease. It's not something you could put a little cortisone cream on and recover from. This is something that requires much greater care because it's a spiritual malady. It expresses itself in the skin, but it comes from, the symptoms are on the skin, but the illness is in the heart, the mind, the soul, and mostly on the lips of the person who contracts it. And so here we begin, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, bottom of page 608. Vayidab Hashem Moshe v'el Aharon le'emor, Adam, ki yeh bo'or b'soro, se'isot pachos b'heres, v'yeh bo'or b'soro, excuse me, l'neged tzaras, v'huv el ha'ar ha'koin, O el achad mi banav ha-kohanim. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, if a person will have on his skin a seis, a sepachas, or a bahara, so complicated to translate those terms that Art Scroll doesn't even bother to try. If you look in the English, it just translates that as sepachas, baharas, or seis. If you look in the Rabbi Sachs, I don't know how he translates it. Then you got to go going through Rashi to understand what's the difference between the three. A tzaras, affliction on the skin of his flesh, he shall be brought to Aaron the Kohen or to one of his sons, the Kohanim. Interesting, it says Vuhuva. He is brought. He's not wheeled. He's not carried on a stretcher. He's not dragged against his will. What is Vuhuva? Rav Yerucham Levav is the great Mashkiach of the Mir. I'm putting out an article today. I just wrote this last night. Contrast this with the Nazir. Vuhuva, you have the same. Adam ki yeh bo'or b'saro, zos toras. But this is the laws of the Metzora. If you go to Parshas Naso, you have the laws of the Nazir. And when it comes to the laws of the Nazir, you have very similar language, but you have a major difference between the two. In fact, I'll just find my article and read it to you from there. You have a big difference between the two. We have, when it comes to the Metzora, this is the law of the Metzora on the day of his purification, Vehuva, he shall be brought. When describing the purification, this is not yet the purification of the Nazir, Torah uses a very similar language. This is the law of the Nazir on the day of his abstinence is completed. He shall bring himself to the entrance of the tent of the meeting. So why when it comes to the Nazir does it say he shall bring himself, and yet when it comes to the Metzora it's Vehuva? Which is it? Is it Vehuva, or is it, does he bring himself, or is he brought? So the great Mashkiach of the Mir, Rav Yerucham, says, you know what the difference is? The Metzora couldn't help himself, couldn't help herself. Wanted to gossip, slander, had some good juicy, some good stuff. And it's a commodity, it's a social commodity. If you're the first to know, if you're the first to share, if you've got the inside scoop, if you're able to talk about the other person, Uwa, they couldn't help themselves. They indulged. They gave in to their impulse. They couldn't control themselves. Vihuva, it brought them. Their impulse, their compulsive behavior brought them. The Nazir strives, has aspirations for holiness. He brings himself. Why I included into the article is I wrote about technology. We're starting next Monday a 30-day technology challenge. I spoke on Shabbos HaGadol about the addiction all of us suffer from. I shared with you the article that baby boomers, even more than the young, it's those 60 and older who are the most addicted these days. After their grandchildren teach them how to use their devices, they're becoming the most addicted to them. So all of us across all generations are struggling with it. We're starting a fantastic 30-day challenge with a daily challenge and daily idea and reinforcement for those who complete it, raffles and prizes. It's going to be fantastic and fun, partnering with Guard Your Eyes and Smichas Chaver to do it. So my article was about this technology because vihuva, our phones are bringing us anything that we're compulsively drawn to. We want to go to sleep, but we stay up a lot longer than we wanted, watching and scrolling and typing and shopping and doing all kinds of things. We mean to spend time with our family, but we can't put that thing down. We want to be fully present, but we're absent present in our davening and at the park or whatever else we're doing, because we are, as much as we just celebrated Pesach and supposedly marked our freedom, in some ways we are entirely still enslaved. So how can we set ourselves, that was right on cue, how can we set ourselves, you think I set that up, how can we set ourselves free? How can we release ourselves from that bondage? So vihuva, this mitzora is vihuva. He's dragged and he's drawn. She compulsively just doing things she claims she doesn't want to be doing. And that's what the mitzora has to be purified from. That's what began and that's what led to it all. So we're going to go through three sections. There's the tzaras that appears where? On the person, on their skin. Then we have nigei begadim. We have the tzaras that appears on the clothing. Clothing can get tzaras. I don't know if you saw, which state was it? That the governor just announced an investigation into Lululemon for some chemical in the clothing. Lululemon denies it. I don't know, I thought, could you have a better parsha? Tazria mitzora, something in the clothing, there's negayim on the clothing, tzaras on the clothing, nigei batim, Lululemon, and whatever problems it meant, Lululemon denies it, ichves. So that's why you shouldn't overspend on Lululemon, unless they're prepared to send me some free things. In that case, they're the best company in the world. So, nigei begadim, and then the final category are tzaras that appear where? On the house, on the home. So on this, I got another incredible new sefer, Halakach V'alib of Nezer HaParsha, Rav Avram Shor Shlita Zol Zayin Ginzunt, and Shtari should be healthy and well. So he just put out Vayikra. I'm not sure it's even available in stores yet, but I thank my dear brother, Rav Nechemia, for sharing it with me. I left him a voice note. My biggest complaint is, you see how big Vayikra is, every essay is extraordinary, is incredible, and I don't know which one to learn, which one to share, which one to teach, which one to give over. They're all amazing. So here he says, Kosova Rambam, the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Tefillin writes, Chayv Adam Lizor B'Mezuzah Neshichovas HaKol Tamid. Person has to be mindful and careful about the mezuzah, because it's an obligation on us constantly. Every time you walk through that threshold, every time you walk through that door, you stop, you pause. The Rambam doesn't talk about kissing, but he does say to touch the mezuzah, and you remember the values. You remember, I'm walking into my house, this is what I'm bringing into my house. I'm going out of my house, this is what I'm taking with me into the street. These are the values. Shema, these are the values, what's in the mezuzah. You remember your love. It wakes us up from our sleep. We break out of that mindlessness and that routine and those habits. And we should know there is nothing that endures or stands for all eternity like the rock of the world that is God. And now you're ready to go out in the street. Now you're ready to engage and encounter the world. Now you're ready to come into your home and to remember what's important and to get along and to have peace and to have harmony. Chazal elaborate, Chazal say that anyone who walks through that door, and you want to know what the proper image, at least when it comes to a man, the beautiful, proper, iconic image is that you're walking in with tefillin on your head, on your arm, and tzitzis on your clothing, and a mezuzah on your doorpost. The image of a Jew is tefillin, tzitzis, and the mezuzah hanging from the door. Such a person, we have a tradition that person can't fail. Too spiritual to fail. Too holy to fail. too high to fail. They can't fail. Hoish lemez kan rabim, because they have all these reminders. They're surrounded and they're immersed in reminders. These are the angels that are around us and that protect us. So you see it from the Ramah. The Torah gives us these mitzvos, and they are advice, reinforcements, angels. These are the three mitzvos. Tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah are that a person who's strict to wear tzitzis, and look at them and think about them and remember them. Person who's strict. Tefillin were originally designed to be worn all day long. Some communities still do. We put them on in the morning for whatever technical reason. And the mezuzah, when you're walking through your doorpost, we have these signals. They're flashing lights at us all day long. Don't forget. Don't forget where you come from. Don't forget why you're here. Don't forget what life is all about. Don't forget. Make active, good choices. Don't just be a creature of rote and routine. Make choices. And what are these signals that are flashing at us? These reminders, these angels that are around us and reinforcing us? Tefillin, tzitzis, and mezuzah. So opposite, so that's what we find opposite, the antithesis of these three that are supposed to be reminders. If we don't use them, if we're not reminded, if we abuse them, if we fail in them, nige adam, nige begadam, nige batim. Adam kiyem or besaro, dalat shemos yesh la adam. We human beings have four names. We're referred to in four ways. Hachashav shekulam kinoy adam. Right, we have ish, we have enosh, we have gever, we have all kinds of words we can use to describe a person, and yet the Torah here employs the word adam. Ki b'zeh Hashem nikra adam arishon ha'yideh kodesh baruch ha'od kodem ha'chet. Adam is our original name. It's our original name. It's the name God gave us before the mistake and the failure, before the big fail that got us kicked out of the garden. We were called, the original name we got was Adam, and that's how this parsha begins. Adam ki Adam, the Isa Bisfar Makadosh and the Shlach Kadosh and others, Shashem Adam Humiloshan Adama Le Elyon, Hashem Akoch Shesh Badam Lakayim Ve Anvehu, Shapir Chazal Hakavana Mahu Afata. We have the ability to imitate God. Imitatio Dei, if I impress you with my Latin. Imitatio Dei, Bahalachta Bedrochav Mahu Afata. We have the ability, we have the capacity, we were designed to imitate the Almighty Adam, Adameh. We're called Adam, man. Adam is the root of the same Adameh le'elyon. I can be compared, I imitate the Almighty. V'lachin yachal Adam liyos doma le'elyon, nimta shem Adam mode more advekas be'elokus. So our very name Adam reflects, we are supposed to cling and cleave and connect and imitate and be ambassadors of Hashem. Adam, others, the Bas'ayin, the Heilige Bas'ayin says, the word Adam comes from the letters Aleph Dam. I never saw this one before. Adam comes from Adama. Adam is a place of growth. Human beings are supposed to grow. Never be finished, never be done. Don't be stagnant. Don't be complacent. We're never finished. No matter what age, no matter what stage, we're always growth-oriented. That's Adam from Adama, number one. Number two is the Shla. Adam is from Adameh Le'elyon. I can imitate God. I can walk in his ways. I can be like him. Number three, the Bas'ayin. Adam, Aleph, Dam. Yesh ba'adam, Dam roseach ki adam hu ha'nefesh. We have blood pulsing through our veins. What animates us? What defines us as being awake and alive is the blood pulsating through our veins. Adam roseach im taivas roos chas rachmano etzlam. That blood represents passion. And the passion is what gets us into trouble. That drive, that temptation, that passion. Hadam maybe the dekas. When a person gets angry, their blood is flowing, they're fuming, they turn bright red, they're angry. And we know what anger leads to. Hadam yesh lakoch lahamlich alufo shel olam al hadam. But that blood, which is the source of passion and can be of rage, aleph dam. But if we place the alufo shel olam, the one and only Almighty, if the aleph is on the dam, if our blood, if our passion, if our life force, if all of our blood flow, if our passions and our energy and our excitement is all directed to the Aleph, the Alufo Shel Olam, Shelo Yadam Stam, Ragdam Shashor Ba'elokus, that God is flowing in our veins. What's flowing through our veins? Not drive and temptation and distraction and impulse and compulsive behavior. I've got God flowing through my veins. I've got a drive to connect to my Creator, to fulfill my mission, my purpose, why I'm here, to represent Him. V'zeh Hashem Adam. U'dasinu l'hach g'shem Adam Hashem ha'muvchar banela biyoser. And that's why Adam is the highest name, because Adam is the highest name, first of all, represents our growth mindset. Number two, because Adameh le'elyon, we could be like God, I can imitate God. And number three, because Aleph Dam, I could have God flowing through my veins. I could take that passion. I could take that energy. I could take that drive. I can take that insatiable appetite and I can direct it to the Aleph, the Alufo. So that's what it means now. Negam are the opposite. When a person, their skin, their body, or their clothing, or their home is misdirected, then you get negayim. They're blemished, they contaminate, they're compromised because of it. Now, is that a negative of us? He goes on, Rav Shor, we don't really have time, to say, HaKavana ki inyan negayim him daika mitzad malas ha'adam, v'lo mitzad b'chisus shelo. You could read Tajriya Metzora and say, man is pathetic. We can't control our temptation, our drive. We can't control our power of speech. We're pathetic, we're lowly. Says of sure, it's the opposite. Negayim hi hanega nasis, hanhaga nasis, hanhaga im hashkacha mi'ala seder ateva. That God chooses to transcend the natural order, to give us a spiritual malady that makes no sense and appears in no medical journal because it has nothing to do with skin, is because He loves us. He believes in us. He's trying to direct us. He's trying to lift and elevate us. That the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, HaTzaras Hushem HaMor B'Shutfas Kol Inyanam Harbe Shekarasu HaTor HaTzaras B'Shutfas Hashem Inim Minhago Shel Olam Elu Os U'Pela Hayi B'Yisrael. Hashem is trying to tell us what we're capable of. He's holding us accountable because He knows we can do better and we can do more. We can be big, we can be huge. And therefore He invokes the Adam, which is the highest sense of self, who we could be. And He goes on, He has a lot more on this. I wish we had time to learn it together. A beautiful Rav Shor, but alas, we've got two parashiyos to cover. So let's move along. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. Bara HaKohen Es HaNega, the Kohen sees this. Boor b'sabasar v'sear b'nega hafach levan umara nega amok me'or b'saro nega tzerasu v'ra'ohu HaKohen v'timei oso. V'timei oso. The Menachem Tzion also has something to say here. Back to Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, and he says the following. Adam kiya b'or b'saro. B'vayikra abba Yisrael b'Yeshua b'shem r'blevi amar afak suv m'chal kukav l'Yisrael. Adam kiyakriv mikem. It says, when it came to the beginning of Vayikra, Vayikra was all about sacrifices. Starts out, Adam kiyakriv mikem. Translate those words. It's the beginning of all of Sefer Vayikra. Adam kiyakriv mikem. Translate the words. If someone from among you will bring a sacrifice. Look how the next pasuk. Adam mikem. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. Right? Look at this pasuk. Pasuk beis. Adam kiyeh b'or b'saro. It doesn't say Adam kiyeh mikem b'or b'saro. So why, when it came to a sacrifice, does it say Adam mikem kiyakriv, Adam kiyakriv mikem? And here it just says Adam kiyeh b'or b'saro and doesn't say Adam mikem. When do we use the word mikem and when do we omit the word mikem? You understand the question? Says Rav Menachem Tzion Zaks, Ahezbar Shalmeimer Zehu, Kikasher Adam Yisrael Makriv Korban Nedava, Harehu Mochiach Shetzfunim Bekirbo, Kisufei Nefesh Lekirva Selokim. Adam kiyakriv mikem. You know what's in our kishkas? You know who we are and who we want to be? You want to be a person who draws close to Hashem. So when we actualize that, when we manifest that, when we bring the karbon, we're revealing who we really are. That's what's inside us. That's what makes us tick. That's what we're all about. That's what's inside us all. Adam kiyakriv mikem. When you're bringing a karbon, you are bringing to the surface what was inside you all along. All you want is to be close to Hashem. All you want is to be your best self. That carbon is coming from you, from your kishkas, from a piece of who you are. It's your identity, it's your best self. it is you. Masha'in ken kasher adam yisrael chotei umalach liches atzma maisa mechorim uvamidos megunos ameivim alav negayim. But it's the opposite is true when a person indulged in their worst self, when they abuse and misuse the power of speech to gossip, to slander, when we pursue temptation and compulsive behavior, and we lower ourselves and we live our worst self instead of our best self, that's not mikem. That's not who we really are. That's not what we're really about. We're going against our nature. We're going against our self-definition. We're going against our essence. Hatochen shel adam Yisrael. Heimnova ma'avira zara v'nachria. It's coming from our environment. It's coming from something outside. It's coming from something foreign. Hazoremes me'Allah shemar la'amar al-harsina v'zomasu la'paska. Beautiful. A beautiful insight. And where is it coming from? So note, the Pasuk said, if we have on our skin, say, sapachas beheres, vaya b'or b'sor l'neged saras. Aidei ma negayim boim, the Medrash Tanchuma asks, why do these negayim come? So the kasuv medaber b'malchius. This is an allusion to the exiles when we are living among host countries. Seis, zubavel. Sapachas is madai. Beheres is yavon. Vaya b'or b'sor l'neged saras is Edom. The four exiles that we've lived through and we're living through the last are represented and hinted to in the four kinds of symptoms of this disease called Tsaras. V'tanchum esham muvam psukim mochichem ha-kolachas efshe lahamlet, says Rav Menachem Etzion Zaks, ki ha-she'ela zu, ha-she'ela yidei ma negayim bayim, what was the question coming from? Bahatshuva she'im bayim lo mikem, Elamin Amalchius. We know this is not who you are. This is not what you're really about. This is not your best self. So where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Maybe you remember when you were a child, or maybe you found yourself having to tell your child. You know that conversation, right? You don't beat the child up for their misbehavior, but you say, this isn't you. This is not like you. Where is this coming from? That behavior, that reaction, that way you spoke, that thing that I found, the thing that you said, the thing you did, that's not you, that's not who you are, that's not like you. So where's this coming from? Where's this coming from? What were you exposed to? What were you reading? What were you watching? Who were you hanging out with? Where is this coming from? Says Rav Menachem Etzion Zaks, that's what the Medrash is asking. Because the behavior that leads to Tsaras, that's not like you, that's not who you are, that's not what you're about. So where is this coming from? Aidei man nagayim baim. Where is this coming from? To which the Medrash answers, you know where it's coming from? Who you're hanging out with. Who are you hanging out with? These four kingdoms, Bavel, Madai, Yavan, Edom, that's where it's coming from. These host nations with their foreign values, that's what are seeping in that leads to a sense of Tsaras. So back to the original question. Why, when it came to a korban, does it say Adam ki akriv mikem? When you're bringing a korban, it's coming mikem. And yet it says over here, Adam kiyeh b'or b'sara. Why doesn't it say Adam mikem kiyeh b'or b'sara? Where's the word mikem here the way it was in Vayikra? It says in Menachem Tzion Zaks, you know why it's missing? Because that's not mikem. When you speak Lashon Hara, when you engage in the behavior that leads to Tsaras, that's not who you are. We have to come up with another explanation. We have to find why you're behaving that way, because that's not who you are. Bringing a korban, kirvas elokim, coming close to God, that's who you are. That's innately who we are. That's what we have to fulfill and realize within ourselves. That's who we are in our essence. That's mikem, that's in our kishkas. But there's other behavior, misbehavior, that's not who we are. We got to get to the bottom of it. Perek Yud-Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalad. Oy. I see Pesach came and went and nothing changed. Perek Yud-Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalad. Page 616. Ish saru hu tamei tamei yitamenu hakoim birosho nig'o. Now the Torah is telling us that the baldness at the front, at the back of the head, he's a person with tsaras, he's contaminated. The Torah shall declare him contaminated. His affliction is on his head. Here, all of a sudden, the Torah says, where is this tsaras? Birosho nigo. It's on his head. Nega shenimtza biroshu adavar ha-mesukan biyoser. Says Rabbi Nachman that a nega, if a person has a blemish in their head, that's the most dangerous place to have a blemish. Lo rak nega tsaras kipshuto. And here we're not just talking about you have dandruff. We're not just talking about you got dandruff. You got eczema in your scalp. You got Dupixent for that. What are we talking about? Negat saras means gam V'ikar tzaras ruchnis. It means rosho, your head is messed up. You're not thinking clearly. You're not focused. Your judgment is impaired. Machshavas v'deyos roz mezikos mikonenos berosho shel adam va'alulos lahavios lefi tohom tchalila. You have a nega berosho. A nega berosho means there's something going on. I can't help because I just saw this in the Wall Street Journal. Anytime I have to, studies suggest that red meat may help prevent against Alzheimer's. Okay, that was just my opportunity to. Nega berosho, berosho nigo. Have a little red meat. Doesn't say kale helps you fight Alzheimer's. I'm just pointing out. Doesn't say that. That wasn't the study. That's not the headline. Headline is a good barbecue, shtick fleisch, a little red meat, grilled properly, and that's good to avoid the rosho nigo. But says Rabbi Nachman, the most dangerous place to have a nega, the most dangerous place to have this blemish, this contamination, this illness, is in the head. When you're not thinking clearly, when you're not prioritizing properly, when you're not focused. Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Mu'aran, Tzorach lishmur ba'udas hazikaron, shel yipol ha'adun l'shichcha. Person has to protect and preserve their memory, never to get to forgetfulness. Ikar hazikaron lizkor tamid es ha'olam haba. And what is the thing that we have to think about regularly? The world to come. Know that we are immortal. We're not mere mortals. Life is not just about this world. This whole world is a blink of the eye. This whole world is just to get to the world to come, eternity. Rov nefiloso shel adam novos mikach shoshochech ha'olam haba. How many congressmen are resigning this week? How many? Three? Two or three? I think a third is also being called on. I don't understand. They have positions of prominence and positions of power. They're the ones who are making policy. And all they had to do is have some decent judgment. Some decent judgment. And yet they can't. So many, too many. Why? Rosho nigo. Because when a person forgets that we're playing the long game. We're not here for pleasure. We're not here for this world. We're not here for the moment. But we're playing the long game. We're trying to elevate. We're trying to live our best selves. We're trying to find meaning and purpose, which is the ultimate source of pleasure, ironically. When you pursue hedonistic pleasure, then you destroy your life. How'd Tiger do in the Masters? He didn't play. When your life is the pursuit of pleasure, you sabotage your whole life, upside down. Resign from Congress. You take time off from your career, even though you were the best ever in the game. But when you live for meaning and purpose, that's when you find the pleasure and the happiness. Jews don't live for happiness, we live for holiness. And therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, it's in the head that we have to remember. We have to remember who we are, what we live for, what life is about. We have to overcome that urge, that impulse, that compulsive drive, even with the opportunity. Don't live for the here and now. Don't live for the pleasure of the moment. Play the long game of eternity and immortality and what life is all about. He has a long essay here in this beautiful Sefer Rabbi Nachman of the Parsha based on this, but I wanted to bring it to your attention because that's these words in this pasuk. Berosho nigo. Where was the nega? In his head. So many of our problems, the problem started where? It's in our head. We're not thinking clearly. We're not focused. We're not making good decisions. We don't have good judgment. And why do all those things happen? Because we don't remember. We don't remember. You know, come back to the red meat. You've heard me speak about this before. The studies that show how much we neglect and don't care about our future selves. We live for our present self at the expense of our future self. And so many studies show if you sleep less than 6 hours a night, your odds of memory loss, dementia, or Alzheimer's increase insanely. Okay, good. So start tonight sleeping at least 6 hours a night, right? Well, what happens is the present self says, that's for future self. But present self wants to stay up a little bit longer. In the middle of doing something, I'm relaxing, I'm reading. I'm not ready to go to sleep. I'm scrolling. So the present self says, who's future self? I haven't met him, I haven't met her, I don't care about them. Present self wants to stay up. And that's berosho nigo. That kind of thinking, where is that? It's berosho. Ezu chacham haroa es hanolad. The chacham, the wise person in the head, is the person who sees what is going to be born, what is the outcome of what we do today. The wise one is the one who lives for their future self. who lives in the present with an eye towards its impact in the future. That's what we need to be careful with. With that, we move over to Parshas Metzora. Perek Yedalad Pasuk Beis. This is the law of the Metzora on the day he purifies. Vehuva el HaKohen. This is the Rav Yerucham I told you earlier. Here the Metzora is Vehuva. He's brought to the Kohen, as opposed to the Nazir who goes to the Kohen. Why is the Nazir? Very similar language, but a major difference. The Nazir goes to the Kohen, and the Metzora is brought to the Kohen. Why? Because the Metzora is brought by things. He's brought by, he's sucked in by his phone, sucked in by the alcohol, sucked in by the drugs, sucked in by the potato chips. Do we want to live a life where we're brought in, sucked in, we have no control, it controls us? Or are we in control? That's this 30-day challenge. Reclaim control. Regain control. Can we regain control? So much of addiction, the 12th step of recovery is realizing you're out of control and that you can't control. Surrender, submit to a higher power, understand you have to turn to others for help, and regain that control. Vehuva el HaKohen is because the person has no control. So they have to be brought, as opposed to the Nazir who is regained, who does not have that control. Says our last Rav Menachem Mitzion Zaks of the day, in the brand new Menachem Mitzion, I get no commission on. HaKohen em Rabbani Yisrael v'rov manhigav, heim matara l'chitzei l'oshan hara shal hamonei ha'am. Matil malayim kol dofi, l'fichach amr Torah l'metzora moti shemra, huva el HaKohen, sofa shu'atzma yizdakek l'Kohen she'itapa ba. I would have thought, where should he go? The dermatologist. Go to the doctor, go to the internist, go to CVS and pick up your subscription, your prescription. What are you going to the Kohen? You got a skin disease and you call the rabbi? Can I meet with you for a few minutes? What's going on over here? Because what went wrong? Where did this all start? This wasn't a physical malady, it was a spiritual one. It was a spiritual one. The Pasha Zunemra, Vuval HaKohen, the Pasha Kadamat Chiz Dinam Tzorah says, Vuval Aaron HaKohen. Here it says he's brought to the Kohen. The last Pasha, Tazria, we conveniently studied a minute ago, it says he's brought to Aaron HaKohen. Why are we invoking Aaron's name? Aaron's not going to be alive in every generation to be the one to check every single person with tzaras. Says Menachem Mitzion Zaks, you know why? Because how did this person get tzaras to begin with? What did they violate? What did they do? They spoke. You know why a lot of people speak Lashon Hara? It's not Lashon Hara because it's true. I'm just telling you something, it's true. They make the mistake of thinking that it's not Lashon Hara, Rechilos, gossip, slander. We have different terms representing the different types of speech. It's just true. I'm just telling you something that's true. They broke up, he got fired, she cheated, this, that. I'm just telling you something that's true. It's just true. Aaron cared more about harmony than truth. When Aaron, who was the Oiv Shalom, Verod Dev Shalom, how, Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, how did he bring about that peace? How was Aaron such a peacemaker? Reuven and Shimon were in a big fight, they weren't talking. So Aaron goes to Reuven and he says, Reuven, Shimon can't take it anymore. He just wants peace. He just wants to reconnect. He's nervous to come over to you. You go to be the first to him. Shimon, Reuven wants peace. He just doesn't know how to talk. He's going to come over to you. Did he tell the truth? Sort of. He served the greater truth, the truth of peace and harmony. Says Rav Menachem Mitzion Zaks, we invoke V'huvel Aaron HaKohen. Why? Midasa haisa l'shanos mipnei darche shalom. Aaron was willing to bend the truth to serve a higher truth, to create harmony and peace. God would prefer the bent truth of Aaron that brings peace and harmony than the absolute truth of the gossiper who is creating and sowing division among our people. And that's why we invoke V'huvel Aaron HaKohen to remind us about Aaron HaKohen. Today is the Yahrzeit of the Kasha Glover. Who is the Kasha Glover? Kasha Glover. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer was the Rav of Kasha Glov. And then he was recruited to become the Rosh Hashiva of Chochmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro's yeshiva. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Chochmei Lublin when the Nazis came to power. He suffered in the Warsaw Ghetto where he was deported to Majdanek. Hashem Yikam Damo, he was killed in Majdanek. Great Talmud Chacham, we have several of his farim. The Helig of the Holy Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, Hashem Yikom Damo. Today is his Yahrzeit. Today is his Yahrzeit. So you got to learn the Torah of the person whose Yahrzeit it is. So in his Eretz Tzvi, the name of his sefer is Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer. He writes, Zosti HaTorah Samatzora. Yesh Lomar Lefi Mashkazo B'Chovas HaLevavos. Rabbeinu Bachai HaChovas HaLevavos writes in Shar Achmiah, You want a disincentive to not speak Lashon Hara? Or an incentive to not speak? He has a tradition, Rabbeinu Bechaya, in Chovas HaLevavos, that if you gossip about someone else, all your Torah learning and all your good deeds get taken out of your account and are credited to the person that you gossiped about. You think you're hurting or harming the person you slandered or gossiped? You've just enriched them. All your Torah, all your good deeds go to them instead of you. And the Chavetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon brings an allusion to this from a pasuk in Koheles. Lama yiktzof ha'elokim ha'kolech v'chavala masi adecha ma'atora she'ishbach ata ma'avda shemach maslashon hara ma'abed ha'torah shalo. So now the pasuk tells us ki achar ta'araso sheba yidei tshuva, this individual who gossiped or slandered is repenting and repairing, they've done tshuva, and this is their rehabilitation. Machziron lo toraso. If you get it right, if you come back from what you did wrong, if you take responsibility and apologize, you get your Torah back. And that, says Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, says the Eretz Tzvi, says the Kashuk of Ranaz Yerutzai, that's why this process of purification begins with the introduction of Zostia Torah Samitzora. Shemaya Zocha betoraso v'nase shalo. This is the Torah of the Mitzora, because if the Mitzora purifies in this way, he'll get his Torah back. You like that? Zostia Torah Samitzora. If he does it right, if he's sincere and genuine, if he takes responsibility and apologizes, if he purifies properly, Zostia Torah Samitzora, he gets his Torah back. Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Dalad. We have here two birds. The purification process includes two Vitziva, Kohen Lakach Lemitar, Shtei Tziporim, Chayos Toros. He takes two pure birds and Eitz Erev Cedar, Ushni Tolas, the Ezov, Crimson Thread, and Hyssop. And he has two birds that he's working with over here. Back in the Nezer HaParsha, Rav Shor Shlita. And he says the following. He says the following somewhere in here about these two birds. Why two? Why two birds? Why two birds? Oh, here it is. Kosh Baruch Hu Boras Fasayim Lishmor HaDibur. How many lips do we have? Two. Two lips, Chomash HaBasar. They're walls. The two lips are walls on our flesh. We speak by waving the two lips. Yesh la'odem beis fasayim, v'zemarame is abeis kochos. Sfasemis writes, Iker bira hadibur hem asfasayim v'shinayim. Lachain, when we speak, we use our lips and our teeth, tongue. Moshe, Amar Moshe Rabbeinu kodem ha'geula, ani aras fasayim. Od matzini b'sfasemis, habeis fasayim hem koach Moshe v'aron. The two lips are Moshe and Aaron. Koach hadibur v'koach hashtika. When to speak and when to be silent. Where do you see Aaron's koach hashtika? Last week's parsha, v'yidom Aaron. Today is Yom HaShoah. V'yidom Aaron. We spoke about it last night at Yom HaShoah program. Incredible speaker. She was extraordinary. Aaron represents the koach hashtika. Sometimes we speak, sometimes we silent. Two, we find double when it comes to speech. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron, koach hadibur, koach hashtika. Iker tikkun hadibur b'tikkun beis fasayim in koach hashtika v'in koach hadibur. So the Sfasemis writes, Nimtza shebegam koach hadibur koach hashtika. We made mistakes in both directions. We were silent when sometimes we should have spoken, given compliments. And we speak when sometimes we should be silent, when we're gossiping, slandering, when we're knocking people down. These two birds, Rav Shor quotes the Sfasemis, beis hatziporim sheyesh b'taras ha-metzora, tzipor ha-shchuta v'tzipor ha-chaya. One bird is shechted, one lives. Ma inyan tzipor chayim ein osim ba'avoda. The living bird, what was the point of bringing it, including it, if you're not going to shecht it? Ela ha-inyan ki ha-shchuta l'sakei ma'asher pagam b'dibor lo tov, tzipor hum efatfet b'kol meramiz l'kol lo tov she'tzorch l'varo min ha-olam. The one that you shecht is the bird that chirp, 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 chirp. Why did you become a metzora? Why do you need to purify? Because just like the bird goes chirp, 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 you chirp, 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 chirp. And that's when you get into trouble. When you're not talking things of substance, when you're talking about people instead of ideas, chirp, 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 then you get into trouble. So you've got to shecht the bird, who just like the bird, you chirp, chirp, chirp. But tzipor achaya, what about the one that lives, that you let go? Yikoach shal dibur tov, l'sakan adibur, k'dei sheb'yicholos l'daber diburim tovim. That represents the positive power of speech, the good speaking that you could have and should have done, the good positive we should have been. So that's why you always see two. keflaim, two lips, two ability to speak. Sometimes we should speak, sometimes we should be silent. Two birds in the rehabilitation process. Sometimes you have to know what to say, and sometimes you have to stay silent. Or sometimes there's two birds because there's two consequences. There's for what we spoke when we use the negative power of speech, but there's also what we could have said positive instead. We were using the power of speech negatively, but what could we have used it for positively instead? We'll end with Tefer Shmuel, Shmuel Berenbaum. He says, V'lo yitama, now we're on Nigei Batim, Perek Yedal Pasek Lamed Vav, very end of the parasha, the third of the types of Tumah. Tziva HaKohen Ufinus HaBayis B'tam Yavu HaKohen Lirus HaNega, V'lo yitma Kalashir B'bayis V'achkin Yavu HaKohen Lirus HaBayis. You see something on your house, something like an affliction has appeared on the house. The Kohen says, clear the house out, empty the house before the Kohen comes to look, so that everything in the house won't be contaminated. And only after it's emptied, that's when the Kohen comes to look. Rashi quotes, because if you don't, the Kohen comes and sees that it's a problem, and you have to shut down the house, quarantine the house, everything inside it becomes impure. And the Torah cares about you and your property, and therefore, in order to protect and preserve it, it says, empty the house before the Kohen comes, and before the Kohen can diagnose the house. Halochasa Torah la klichersh in lem tar b'mikvah. Fine. Tzorchi yindish zeharei avar averos. This individual who has this manifestation of tumah on the house is saying some tzaddik, you should be honoring the shul dinner, which is, by the way, next week. And if you haven't signed up or put in your journal entry, please do. We need your help. To make our budget for this year, our dinner needs to do well. We have wonderful honorees. You know the guy who gets up every week and says, turn your ringer off, and offers to do it for you? He's our honoree. He and his wife, David and Joyce, together with the Marcuses, please come. So this individual, though, whose house spread with tzaras, saw how he did that? Smooth. This individual whose house spread with tzaras, he's not being honored at the shul dinner. He was avar avera. He gossiped, he slandered, or one of the other many things for which tzaras comes. So why are we so working to preserve his property? Why are we coming to help or advocate for him? Lama makbida Torah kokach al mamono, afilu akli cheresh shelo. Even his earthenware vessels, which are not worth much, we're still trying to protect them. Why? Yishlomar says, the Kohen is an agent of Hashem. The Gemara Kedushin says, k'sha Kohen shliach Hashem bala beiso, ve'eino nichnas labayis ad shifne kol hakelim, v'zehu mara kama kadosh baruch hu doeg al mamono. Picture the scene, says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum. The Kohen arrives on the scene. This individual comes home and says, I got a problem. Chinese drywall. I got mold. I got a problem. My house is a problem. So he calls the spiritual Hatzalah hotline and he says to the Kohen, I need you to come. Kohen arrives, he shows up and he says, I don't want to come in until you empty the house. The guy says, well, what do you mean? I got mole, I got problems, I got negayim. Take a look. Kohen says, listen, if it's taka a problem, it's going to be a big problem. And everything inside of it is going to be gone. But you know, Hashem loves you, and I love you, and we care about you, and we care about your property, and we care about your things. So take a moment and take the time, and first bring it out before I go in, at which case, at that time, there'll be no turning back. Why? Because even though this person made a mistake, and even though they need to get this punishment, in that moment, Hashem wants that individual to know Hashem loves you. And the Kohen who represents him loves you. And this is a powerful message. I often meet with people who've made terrible mistakes in their life. They've had indiscretions. They've shown poor judgment. They've made big mistakes with big consequences. And when they're shaking and hesitating and don't want to share or turn or tell me, I always say the same thing. I say, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to help you. It's my only role. That's my mission. The reality of what they've done and its consequence has done enough to knock them down. They don't even come in there fire and brimstone and tell them what a terrible mistake they've made and what a bad person they are. As a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen, but as the equivalent of the Kohen, a leader of a community, the representative of Hashem, our only job is to say, no judgment. You can share, you can tell me, I have no judgment, I only want to help. So the Kohen shows up and he says, I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to tell you how terrible you are. I'm here to help. And the best way I can help you is first empty the house. I want you to know Hashem loves you and I love you. No matter what you've done, we can get you back. Parshas Kisetze, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, the Lashon of Achicha, five times, Shor Achicha, Hashev Teshivim Achicha, Lo Karov Achicha, Adrosh Achicha, היסוד של השבת אבידה is that every Jew you have to view as your brother. So the Kohen shows up and he says, hey brother, I'm here to help you. What can I do, my brother? I have no judgment, brother. I just want to help you. That's why I'm here. And that's the message it sends. The fact that we wait. Even though this person made a mistake and did wrong. The fact that we wait. Okay, there's a lot more. But we'll stop here. We're on tomorrow for Shirim back to normal as well. Please stay for all, stay for Tillim. Our brothers in Israel and we around the world need it for good things and good results. We'll finish all of Sefer Tehillim in just a few minutes. If you please take a moment to stay, have a great day.